secular Jewish family, and we knew nothing about Christianity. Zero. Nits. Nada. Niev, whatever. Nothing about Christ. I got saved on the 3rd of March, 1975. A few weeks later, they were celebrating Easter. What is Easter? Came to find out later that is a pagan holiday.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not going to go into this right now. It's Resurrection Sunday. And we are all excited.
Yes.
And I couldn't quite understand why such an excitement. So I asked the pastor, why all the fanfare? Oh, it's Resurrection Sunday. Ah, okay. Is that important? Oh, yes. It is really important. And it's real good, too. Now, in my simplicity, you're talking about a 15-year-old kid. If it's that important, why don't we celebrate it every week? I mean, it was an honest question. I mean, if you like ice cream, you eat ice cream every week, don't you? You like coffee, you drink coffee every day, don't you? So if the resurrection is that important, which it is, and I'm going to explain in a moment, why is it that we don't celebrate every week? He looked at me with a disgusting face and he says, you'll get it eventually. I said, thanks. You still didn't answer my question. The title of my sermon this morning is, It's More Than a Religion. Today the world gathered together since last Friday to celebrate the death, the resurrection, the death and sacrifice and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now one may ask, don't you celebrate that? Yes, this church celebrates that every week. For the religious people, it's only on the pagan holiday they call Easter. For the Jewish people, it's once a year on Passover, or Pesach, as we say in Hebrew. But for Bible-believing people, the death, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus is a weekly celebration. Because our God is alive. There is no Bible on the verse, no verse on the Bible that says that I'm supposed to take a weekend to celebrate the death of Christ. Once a year. There isn't one single scripture in the Bible that says that we should celebrate his birth. I'm going somewhere here now. Why is it then that the whole nation get all revved up to come to church on Easter? May I call it Passover?
Please.
I don't want to be mentioned pagan celebration in my pulpit. Why is it that some people comes to church only on Passover and at the end of the year to celebrate Jesus' birth on the wrong day? It's because they are moved by religion. So are you going to preach about the resurrection? No, I'm not. Because the resurrection of Christ is more than a religion. It's more than a ritual. The resurrection of Christ has more to do with relationship than anything else. We celebrate every week. We are commanded to celebrate every week what the religious people call the Lord's Supper. Whatever you want to call it, we celebrate it. A lot of people come to the table with a religious people mentality, and they cannot discern the privilege, the blessing, the joy that they have to be around the table, eating the bread of the Lord that was sacrificed for us, drinking the wine symbolizing the blood that was shed for us, and the joy that it can bring to our lives.
Amen.
That celebration. So, hold on, preacher. So what you're celebrating today? I ain't celebrating nothing. We're going to celebrate it as we do every week. But as you ask, and we are talking about the resurrection on the Lord, I say that this is more about relationship. It's more about learning to listen to God. In the days of old, it was something very special to be able to hear from God. You had to be born in a prophet family, or God had to literally handpick you in order for you to hear from God. In our days, things has quite changed. The Lord has changed the way of doing business with mankind. What does this hearing God stuff has to do with today? If Jesus had not been brought back from the dead, this day wouldn't exist. Christianity would be useless. If Jesus had not been brought back from the dead, he would have not gone up to heaven. The Holy Ghost wouldn't come, then you wouldn't be able to listen to the voice of your God. It's all about the aftermath that comes with the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ back from the dead. According to Hebrews chapter 1, starting on verse 1, God is willing to have a relationship with mankind. And we all know that since the Garden of Eden. Once we got kicked out of the garden, this is what happened. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by God has been willing to talk to us at all times. In the beginning, he was talking face to face to Adam. Adam messed up, got kicked out of the garden. God is still want to talk to us. So how am I going to do this? He started using the prophets. May I have the backslide translation here, brothers? Let's do on the backslide translation. Going through a long line of prophets, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. Are you with me here? Centuries. God is trying to have a relationship with us. God is talking to us. God wants to talk to us throughout the centuries. If you have not heard from God yet, it's not God's fault. It's your negligence. Because God is busy. The only difference is on the old covenant, God would pick a guy and make him a prophet. Or he had to be born from the lineage of Aaron. And God would talk to the people through that person. Listen to verse 2. Recently, he spoke to us directly. My Lord. Are you with me here now? The resurrection of Jesus is about nothing else but then God talking directly to you through his Son. Amen. Resurrection is about communication between you and God. Amen. And you know, if I couldn't hear the voice of God, life would be boring. So what you're saying, preacher? Folks, it's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It is about relationship. Can you imagine that you can talk, your spouse can talk, you got engaged, you met Periquita Perez, and you loves her, she met you and she loves you, and then every time you meet, you keep looking at one another. And then you sit looking at each other for an hour or two, then you smile and you go home, and then you meet tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and then a year later you get married. But never a single word was uttered. Can you think how odd that would be? How? How in the world can you have a relationship if y'all can talk to each other? And let's say that the thing was so crazy that you decide to go into the marriage and you marry, and every day you just look at your wife. If she messed up, making faces. Can you imagine how boring it would be to have a relationship with somebody like this? Relationship evolves from communication. Relationship evolves from acts of kindness. God is interested in speaking to us directly, and the best way to do this, he figured out, was through his son. Amen. Why? Because his son created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to the son at the end. In other words, he's the boss. Are we together here? Amen. I like the way that the New Living Translation puts it. Brothers, may I have this on the NLT? And now, in these final days, say, these final days. These final days. He has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, in other words, I'm going to let my boy take charge of the whole universe. I'm going to let my boy take charge of the whole thing. I just need him to do me one favor. He got to go die and rise again from death. So Satan's fate is nailed. The redemption of my people is nailed. Listen to verse 3. The sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Now, here's something that he can do. He sustains everything, the mighty power of his command. You know, that star that you love to look so much up here, the big one always brightens. It doesn't come 1 centimeter lower because Jesus said, stay right there. Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. The rivers that you see, stay right where they at because Jesus set the limits. The seas does not cover the whole Baltimore because he sets the limits on everything. And he goes on to say, when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Now, may I have the backslide translation again? I love the way that this guy's put it. This son perfectly mirrors God and is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. He holds everything together by what he says. What does he say? Powerful words. The powerful word of Jesus is able to keep everything together. After he finished the sacrifice for sins, the Son took his honored place high in the heavens, right alongside God. He's God himself. Now listen to verse 4. Far higher than any angel in rank and role. You got is the boss. So what does it got to do with resurrection? Will you stop Nowadays, we all have access to God. We all can hear from God. We all can prophesy, if you will. All this is due to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Religious people will rise early today for the early morning rising service. Has anybody heard about that? What did you say? Religious people, they will rise early today for the early morning rising service. Now, Paul's sentence is saying, I guess this is the only day God deserved their time early in the morning. We don't see them coming to the 6 o'clock prayer time. I don't know. Some people show up today in church in the so-called resurrection day and then tell Jesus, see you on Christmas, Lord. Just to keep the label, I am a Christian. But for us, these days is not so special as it is for the religious people, because religious keep people tight by rituals. Whereas, in our case, we are bound to Christ through mutual love, through a mutual relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's about relationship. Every Sunday is Passover for us, because we celebrate His life, His death, and His resurrection as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Every time that we come to the table for the Lord's Supper, we announce His life, death, and resurrection, and His return. Every single week at the communion table. So it's not a ritual. At least I hope it's not on your case. It's a celebration. It's a celebration. Got it? The end result of this celebration that we have every week is being able to start hearing or listening to the one we celebrate every week. Now, with this in mind, Brother Harry, can you put that first clip for me? What you're talking about? I still gonna satisfy the religious people this morning. I have a hard time doing this, but I have to understand that not everybody are where we are. The first clip that we had, Brother Harry, downloaded at the end of Easy Worship. I don't know, we downloaded the first one at the end of the songs list. So what you're doing, preacher? I mean, you just break the rhythm. I didn't. I want you to understand, and I hope for your own sake, and I hope for God's sake, that you're not here today because of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. We don't celebrate a dead God. celebrating this thing. I'm going to go for another clip very soon. The death of Christ on Calvary cross is real, was real. And it brought results that goes far above and beyond our wildest imagination. Therefore, let us not take such a precious sacrifice and make it a ritual. And this is why I hate religion. Going through something like this was not a piece of cake. Just to become a religious ritual where you're going to show up once or twice in church a year to keep the label of Christian? It's mockery. I have never had a nail gone through my wrist. But I can tell you, I imagine it is painful. And I believe that God deserves more than two Sundays a year. Amen. That's for religious people. In our case, it's relationship. Amen. Let's continue. May God have mercy on us.
The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. We didn't recognize him. Not on the road.
But when he broke bread, then will you.
Emmaus, how strange he should go there.
Peace be with you. Why are you troubled? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look, my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Feel me and you will know. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, you shall see I have. These are the very things I spoke to you about while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms had to come true. This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I myself bring the promise of my Father upon you. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you.
Now, there are people out there today denying that the resurrection took place. It did. I think we still have one more clip, don't we? Brothers, we still have one more clip there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was important for a very simple fact. And I'm going to show you scriptures afterward. The resurrection of Jesus is important not because God wishes a day like this to become a religious ritual. It became important by the fact that in being back from the dead, he sealed the devil's destiny.
Amen.
By being back from the dead, he sealed the devil's destiny. Amen. From that point forth, the devil no longer has any say on your life or on your body unless you give him the right to do so. I mean, it is gone. Resurrection Sunday is not about the rituals. Did you get that? It's about relationship. The Lord sealed the deal. And now, when we speak the name of Jesus, the devil has to bow down. Now we're going to see when he was taken up to heaven. And that too has a powerful importance, brothers.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
You may be wondering now, how does the whole thing tie together about a relationship? In order to have a relationship, there's got to be at least two people. Can I hear an amen on this?
Amen.
You cannot have a relationship with yourself because you are you. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus was the climax of the new beginning of a new era, a new kingdom, a new movement that would have swept throughout the earth. This movement that was later called Christianity in the church of Antioch. And how is that even possible? If he would have not be risen from the dead, the devil would still be bossing around. If he had not gone up to heaven, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come down. He says, I'm going to go to the Father. And when I go, I am going to send you the Comforter that will be with you always. And he goes on to say, and he shall teach you all things. And then he says, he will not talk about himself, but he will take of what is mine and give it unto you. You can have a relationship with God today because of his life, death, and resurrection. Brother Harry, can you look for me Revelation 1, verse 17 and verse 18? It's not on your list. But I want to throw that in real quick because I have something to prove to people here right now. Revelation 1, verse 17 and verse 18. Read it with me. When I saw him,
I fell at his feet as if I were dead.
But he laid his right hand on me and said,
don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of heaven and earth.
The reason we come to church this day is to celebrate the fact that the devil lost the key of his house.
Amen.
Jesus said, I hold the keys of death and the grave. I'm going to give you a tall order. If it comes to pass that any one of you under the sound of my voice happens to go to a funeral, use the key. What if the person don't come back? That's none of your business. It's God's business. So what you're saying? If you are invited to go to a funeral, go by the coffin in the name of Jesus. Arise. My Lord has the keys of death and the grave. Arise in the name of Jesus. You might be shocked that somebody may actually come back. Listen to this here. May I have the backslider translation? A little weird, but still sweet. I saw this and fainted dead at his feet. You know, I had had people ask me when I was teaching in Bible college, some of my students said, why did he fall dead at his feet? Because John was beholding him in all his splendor, in all his glory.
Amen.
You know, when I was in heaven, one of the things that I couldn't help, first time when they look at Jesus, the first reaction I had was to sit down. I didn't stand up for some odd reason until I was told to come back, then I got up. But when you are in the presence of Jesus, there's something that will lead you to bow before Him.
Amen.
That is splendor, that beauty, that glorious thing about Him is so powerful that you cannot stand up with your nose up high. John was one of his disciples. He saw him transfigurated. But now, he's in the real deal. The beauty about this, whenever we bow before the presence of the Lord, his right hand will always touch us. There's something I want you to see here. His voice reassured me. I told you that this is all about relationship.
Yes.
Didn't I?
Yes.
His voice. It wasn't the touch. It was the voice that reassured John. Don't be afraid, my boy. And you know why you shouldn't be afraid? No, Lord. I am the first. There was no God, there was nobody before me. Nobody can take the first place because I am the first.
Amen.
And I'm hoping that today you will make Him the first in your life.
Amen.
He does not deserve the end of the line. He does not deserve that you're going to stay home to watch CNN or TMZ or whatever garbage you watch, and then you give Him only Sunday. As the religious people, He says, I am the first. And He will always be the first in this church. He will always be the first in our church and in our lives. He also said, I am the last. Once I'm gone, all the ones that will come after me, they are liars. I am the deal. I am the first and I am the last. Don't be fooled by Muhammad or whatever come afterwards. He says, I died. Why is it important for me to know that he died? Stay with me. But I came to life. And my life is now forever. Have you heard? Did you remember when Jesus was here? He said that in order for a tree to grow, the seed must die. Is that right? How many of you have ever planted avocado tree here? We'll have one person here. You take the avocado seed, take a toothpick, punch it on the head, on the center, on the top, and put it in water for 4 or 5 days. And that very seed, humongous as it is, bit by bit, going to start sprouting. And then you will take it and put on a hole with some fertilizers. And it grows to become a humongous tree. The Lord had to die because there was a settlement to be made.
Amen.
With whom? With the devil,
yes.
With death, and with sin. He says, I came to life. My life is now forever. See these keys? I can just imagine John looking. See these keys? Yes. See these keys on my hand? Yes, sir. They open and lock death doors. They open and lock hell's gate. Hell cannot prevail against the church. I was one time in a conference in Florida, and this preacher is preaching about the keys that has been given to the church. Hell would attack, but the church would always back off, and hell is not going to overcome the church. And I'm thinking, what? Where in the world did you get that theology from, dude? When the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, does not mean that hell is attacking and the church is just defending itself so hell won't prevail. It's the opposite. We've got the key. When hell attacks, we go against hell and we kick in demons and hell cannot stand. Because our God got the keys on his hand. It's not a religion. It's about relationship. Now, for those who are King James buffers, may I have the King James or the New King James? Just to clear the air. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Thank God he fell at his feet. Not at the feet of the other one. Make sure if you got to fall at somebody's feet, fall at the feet of Jesus. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I want you to touch somebody. Use your right hand and say, God is touching you right now. Huh? God is touching you right now. The right hand. Yes, he used his right hand, didn't he? Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Done deal. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is not dead. He actually lives forever. And he continues to say, and I have the keys of Hades and death.
Amen.
You are the boss of death. And you are the boss of hell. From this point forth, pay attention to what I'm going to tell you today. All of you that are members and congregant from this congregation, I am commanding you right now. I'm ordering you right now. Anytime you see a demon possessed fall, jump on it. You've got the keys. You have permission to go and take care of business in the name of Jesus. All of you, not only within these walls, anywhere, if a demon decides to play stupid and cross your path and try to get you scared, in the name of Jesus, I send you back to hell. I've got the key, and I'm going to send you back to hell where you belong. Don't you dare to be afraid. Send it back. That's where they belong, and we've got the keys. And I say, there is always room for one more demon in hell. Folks, it's not a ritual. It is not a religious ceremony. Within a few moments, you're going to have the pleasure to celebrate life, death, and resurrection. It is about relationship. We don't come to church. We didn't come to church today because he rose from the dead. No. We come because we love him. Yes. We come because we cheer this relationship.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will say, like David said, I was glad when they say to me, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's not about religious ceremony. It's not about rituals. It's not about, oh, today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is Good Friday. For me, every Friday is good. Oh, today is Hallelujah Sunday. For me, it's Hallelujah every day, babe. Plain and simple. And you know what? Yesterday, hallelujah! What a hallelujah Saturday we had here yesterday. It's not about religion. It is about relationship. God wants to talk to you. Next time that I will preach, I'm going to have 3 sermons on teaching you how to hear the voice of God. First one, I was hoping to go through this today. I was craving to do this today, but how to hear the voice of God is already done. What's the conclusion, preacher? You're getting the people pumped up. Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. We are pumped up not because we are religious. We are pumped up not because we are celebrating a ritual. We are pumped up because we have a relationship with the one we are celebrating about. That's what it's all about. You have been bought back to God. And I want to close with Colossians 2. Brother Harry, can you give me that scripture in Colossians 2? 13 and 14. I want you to read it with me, and I just finished. Read it with me. When you are stuck in your old sin, dead life, you are incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. Listen to verse 14. The slate wiped out clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. It is all about relationship, folks. It's not about the ritual. It is about relationship. Maybe there's somebody here today that you have not yet established that relationship with him. Jesus spoke to me this morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I talk to Jesus every single day. Now here's a kick. Sometimes I got some stuff in my head to ask, but when I get there, we start talking, I forget about it. Yeah. Always happens. Yeah. Then Leah said, my goodness, why did I forget to talk about this? It happens. And when I'm sick, then I don't remember anything at all, because once you're in His presence, forget about sickness. The spirit of sickness beat right away. They get away because they are afraid of Jesus. Huh? One time, I woke up and I remember, hey, Lord, wait a minute, wait a minute. You know how I'm feeling? The Lord said, don't even go there. You know better than this. So my goodness, I was just, don't even go there. All right. By your stripes, I'm healed, that's it. And I'm going to prophesy. Folks, all the old arrest warranty against us has been canceled. Because of what Jesus did. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder. It has been nailed at the cross. So if there's somebody here today that is not fully, you know, in full relationship with this God, He wants to talk to you too. He wants to be your God. He wants to hang out with you on a daily basis. How do I do that? Well, you're going to learn next week. But He wants you to come today. I'm particularly glad that you made today. Why don't make it special? Why don't make Jesus the first in your life? As He is already the first over all things. Maybe we have somebody that has backslid here. Why not make His heart happy today by returning to your home where you belong by your side? Is there anybody here that would like to make a decision to follow Christ? Or maybe you would like to make a decision to reunite with Christ, to reconcile with Christ? Let's make this day a special occasion to Him, shall we? Is there anybody here? Anybody? Praise God. All right. Church, close your eyes and bow your heads. Father God, I embrace my brother, just like you would have embraced. And with my right hand, I'm touching him right now, just as you touched John. And my Father, from this point forth, I'm asking you a favor. I want you to talk to Brother Chris every day. Whichever way you choose, whether it's that still voice inside of his head, inside of his heart, or through your word, or maybe through a dream, through dreams and revelation. Father, I pray that from this point forth, you will make his spiritual life very, 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 very meaningful. More meaningful. I pray that he'll be able to contemplate you and behold your glory. I pray that he'll be able to see the angels that hangs around his house on a daily basis. I pray, Father, that he'll have visitations on a daily basis. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Do we have anybody else that would like either to settle things back with him? Today's the day. Why wait? The price has already been paid for your salvation, for your redemption. So why not make it more meaningful? Sweetheart, can you go out and join that young lady over there? You did. The rest of you, I want you to pray with me. Bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. You care enough to take care of everything. I'm so glad. I don't have to be looking over my shoulders. The warranty arrest has been canceled at Calvary Cross. Thank you so much. You know, Lord, I would like to have a more meaningful life with you. And I'm asking you to strip me out of every religious feelings and bondage that I have been exposed to. My Lord, my Savior, my God, I want to hear from you on a daily basis. And I make you a promise. I'll make you the first in my life. You will come before my TV comes. You'll be first in my computer. You'll be first in Facebook or any other social network. I want to have a meaningful relationship with you. And it's starting today. I want to hear from you more often. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you for making things right with God on my behalf. In your precious name I pray. Amen.